Originally, I was going to do this session together with Niels Christian Wiet, who unfortunately cannot be here. I think our papers would have a lot of overlaps, so in a sense, I can also speak a little bit for him, because there are some elements from his paper that are also in my paper. And the other thing I would like to mention or recommend is that tomorrow there is a session on spirituality also, spirituality definitions and concepts in empirical data. The original idea of the both panels was to have a joint panel of the four of us, which we also did at the AIPR Congress last year in Bari, which was also a combination of, say, historical, philosophical perspectives and empirical data. But all discussion, the same issue, namely, what is spirituality, which is also, I think, a major issue in this conference in itself. We discuss spiritual care, we just talk a lot about spiritual need, but it's difficult to define what spiritual is in spiritual care or in spiritual need. It's also not very easy to understand what a need is, by the way, not only spiritual, but if a need is innate or if it's a kind of a continuity in a person's ideas or affective life, or whether it's only an occasional thing. I think that's one of the major questions that popped up in this conference. What is a spiritual need? Anyway, I do this from the perspective, I do this talk, historical, philosophical perspective, as a psychologist of religion. I work at the Department for Practical Theology and Psychology of Religion at the Protestant Theological Faculty in Vienna. I'm a theologian, so you have to, must apologize for some theological language occasionally. I'm sorry for that. I am forgiven, thank you. Okay, with the emergence of the concept of spirituality in the past few decades, the relation, the overlaps, and the distinctions between religion and spirituality have become an increasingly important issue in the psychology of religion, but not only in the psychology of religion. Spirituality has become more and more the object of scientific research, and I think we may even ask ourselves whether the discipline of the psychology of religion is not slowly but irrevocably moving towards a psychology of spirituality, that is, a redefinition of the subject of this scientific discipline. In a secular age, such a development towards a psychology of spirituality might be assessed as permanent, maybe even necessary. After all, the grand secularization theories formulated in the 1960s and 1970s have lost ground relative to theories contending that in Western societies religion is not disappearing but in a process of transformation as witnessed in new public and private forms of religiousness and spirituality. The secular age is the age of the religious after religion, of the sacred after tradition, of believing without belonging, or, in slightly different terms, one might say, it is the age of the spiritual, after secularization having marginalized the societal meaning and impact of religious commitments to beliefs and practices characteristic of particular religious traditions. Spirituality is thus more than a fashionable concept, more than a megatrend in marketing strategies, or in the publications of social scientists trying to attract a broad audience, that has been reasoned by some scholars. Spirituality seems to be the right term to describe exactly the situation of the religious after religion. And then it then indicates a field, or maybe several fields, that includes both traditional forms of religiosity and secular existential worldviews and convictions. No wonder, then, that spirituality is so hard to define and to describe, and no wonder that the concept is so diffuse, broad, and vague. This might well be essential to the concept in the secular age after religion. The emergence of the concept of spirituality in the research and literature of the psychology of religion seems indeed closely related to the decreasing importance and meaning of traditional religious institutions and religiosity as commitment to traditional contents of belief on the one hand, and the increase of the importance of individual spirituality. In most contributions that systematically reflect religion and spirituality, this is accounted for. Religiosity is then, for example, defined by Zinnbauer and Pagament as, I quote, commitments to beliefs and practices characteristic of particular traditions, or by Hugolet and Koenig, belief is a supernatural power or transcendent being, truth or ultimate reality, and the expression of such a belief with doctrinal and denominational characteristics. Religiosity there is there where the language of Christian belief can still be clearly identified, and where religious practices are still determined by Christian discourse, says Wilhelm Grebe, a German practical theologian. Spirituality is then, accordingly, or on the other hand, defined as personal search for the sacred, a personal life principle which animates a transcendent quality of relationship with God, or as concerned with the ultimate questions of life's meaning as it relates to the transcendent. It is the experiential and personal side of our relationship to the transcendent or sacred. Spirituality can be conceived of as the worldlier, individual mode of expression of a search for meaning that used to be embedded in Christian language and institutions. Now, such definitions or descriptions indicate a difference between religion and spirituality. Zinnbauer, Pagament, Scott, amongst others, have rightfully argued that value judgments are sometimes implied when religion and spirituality are strictly distinguished. Religion being assessed as negative, spirituality as positive. That's a tendency. And I think we should take this serious, since also without an explicit polarization, a general overlook of the literature in the psychology of religion shows that religion is more associated with outdated traditions and spirituality more with modern or postmodern individuality, individual spirituality in the secular age. But can we simply reason that the emergence of the concept of spirituality should be explained as the consequence of an ongoing process of secularization? That is to say, the process of the decline of traditional religious institutions and shared belief, on the one hand, and an ongoing transformation process of privatization and individualization of religious and spiritual experiences, attitudes, and worldviews, on the other hand. The vague concept of spirituality then encompasses the entire field of the modes of expressions of the religious after religion. I want to argue that the concept of spirituality is more than a concept simply and neutrally describing all the modes of expression of the religious after religion. Past and present debates on the definition of spirituality and its relation to religion reflect different intellectual, cultural, and religious traditions and positions that are not always reflected or articulated explicitly. So let me sketch a few various intellectual and cultural dimensions and traditions that have influenced various definitions and descriptions of the concept of spirituality as we know and use it today, including the different views on meanings of the concept in the United States and in Europe, that's a difference, and different connotations of the concept in various denominational contexts. And second, the emergence of the concept of spirituality seems to be related to the ongoing process of emancipation of the psychology of religion from theological discourse as well, and institutions, and an ongoing detachment from the classic praxis field that has often served as the field of application of data and insight from the psychology of religion, namely pastoral care. And yet, I will try to argue and show that psychology of religion, when highlighting, for example, the positive and integrative functions of religion for individual well-being or mental health, and we have a lot of papers in this conference arguing exactly that, and assuming that, let's, as Van Belzen once said, religion is better than no religion, may still be attached, that we will may still be attached to a religious, probably even Christian, kind of apologetics of religion that has influenced the field profoundly both in past and present times. So my aim is to show that the concept of spirituality includes the remains of traditional religious contents and also of theological projects. And in the final section of the paper, I will try to say a few things about the possibility of differentiation within the concept of spirituality so that we can use it a little bit more, use it a little bit better. The concept of spirituality is not only multidimensional and vague because of the field it denotes, that is, the modes of expressions of the religious after religion, and the individual search for meaning and the sacred in the plural and secular societies. The various definitions of the concept of spirituality in current psychological literature reflect various intellectual, cultural, and religious traditions and positions. The word spiritualis has a long tradition dating back to early Christian translations of pneumatikos, a word that in the New Testament indicates the part of man's psychic life that relates or belongs to God or to the divine spirit. Throughout Christian history, the adjective spiritualis is occasionally used to indicate a psychological attitude opposed to corporeal human functions, or to identify ecclesiastical property. Yet it is only in the late 19th century that the concept of spirituality gains importance in theology. In French theological literature, the concept of spiritualité is introduced in the context of a more intensified discussion of the spiritual sources of Catholic tradition that might be inspiring for religious life in an era of secularization. Spiritualité, from then on, denotes the spiritual experiences such as revelations, visions, apparitions, healing miracles, hence the personal existential component of religion. The influence of this meaning of the concept of spirituality is not limited to the Catholic thought and teachings. In Germany, for example, and other European countries, the concept was also introduced to indicate lived religiosity. German literature on the issue, Spiritualität, is often used as a synonym for Frömmigkeit, that is, piety. Here you see a clear difference between Catholic literature and Protestant literature. In the Protestant literature on spirituality, the focus is not on visions, apparitions, or mystic experiences. Spirituality primarily indicates the mental aspects of Frömmigkeit, Glaube, faith, piety. The concept of spirituality does has slightly different connotations in Catholic and Protestant discourses. In the Anglo-Saxon world, the concept of spirituality has a very different history. Here, the concept of spirituality is much more defined in line with a range of new religious, esoteric, and holistic worldviews and practices rooted in a variety of sources such as 19th century spiritualism or the influence and growing interest in Indian religion and the Western-oriented mission of teachers and gurus who gained popularity from the late 19th century onwards because they opposed Indian philosophy and spirituality, and they used this word spirituality, to the superficial and rationalized Western world and also presented it as an alternative for dogmatic Christianity. In the 1960s, the concept of spirituality became en vogue in religious studies and the sociology of religion to describe a multitude of phenomena related to the New Age movement. Several aspects characterized this spirituality. First, an essential aspect of New Age spirituality is the so-called sacralization of the self. Spirituality indicates the search for the self and the self experiences embedded and expressed in a variety of spiritual and or therapeutic practices and in the patchwork of philosophies of life. The only binding doctrine in the spiritual milieu is to believe in a true, authentic, and sacred self as an inner kernel, basically unpolluted by culture, history, and society, or by the dominance of modern rationality. Second, spirituality is defined in terms of individual lifestyle options, a personal engagement with spiritual practices and worldviews, and therefore as such an expression of the de-traditionalization and de-institutionalization of religion. In this train of thought, spirituality is not defined in terms of being a subjective dimension or even inner core of religion itself, but as broader than, more independent from, and more critical towards religion and theology. In the current psychological literature on spirituality, the second tradition, including the critique of or distancing from traditional religion, seems to have become the dominant one. Spirituality as, for example, personal and undogmatic mode of expression of a search for meaning, or as the personal side of our relationship to the transcendent, or search of the sacred, is distinguished from religiosity, I've already said this, as commitment to shared beliefs and practices of particular religious traditions. In an age of ongoing secularization and decreasing religious socialization, the concept of spirituality is used to describe the entire field of the individual's spiritual search for the sacred. So this seems to be more in line with the second Anglo-Saxon tradition. But as Hill, Parliament, Hood, and others already wrote, as spirituality has become differentiated from religion and religiousness, it has taken with it some of the elements formerly included within religion. And this is what the whole question makes so complex. Indeed, the continental roots of the concept of spirituality come to the fore in definitions of the concepts that associate a search for the sacred or privatized religiousness with key aspects of, yes, even the essence of religion itself. When religious socialization or commitment to traditional views and creeds no longer seems to function, the spiritual heart and soul of religion prevails. A psychological perspective on religion and religiosity is culturally, historically seen not only and simply the result of the emergence of modern psychology from experimental philosophy and the laboratory work of protagonists such as Wilhelm Wundt in Leipzig. The psychology of religion is an amalgam composed out of various sources such as modern psychiatry, folk psychology and early religious studies, the study of hypnosis and hysteria, neurophysiology, and of course also psychoanalysis. Some of these disciplines were outspoken in their religion critique, some even with anti-religious traits. But this was in a sense compensated and outbalanced by another major source for the psychology of religion, namely theology. We can fairly say that the psychology of religion, as it emerged by the end of the 19th century, was both strongly intertwined with theology and philosophy, and at the same time strove for its emancipation and recognition by the scientific community. Why was theology so important? Well, the subject of the psychology of religion was basically depending on what theologians had meanwhile clearly recognized and articulated, namely the growing gap between the traditional forms of theology, dogmatics, church practices and institutions on the one hand, and the individual religious experiences, feelings, needs, inclinations, and motivations, on the other hand. The psychology of religion could emerge with the discovery of its subject, man and his religious experiences and feelings, senses and intuitions, as the center and the source of religion. In short, it starts about 200 years ago with someone like Schleiermacher and his apologetics of individual religiosity in terms of religion critique and secularization. In his writings, we find a new and influential definition of religion. 10 minutes. Yeah, that's okay. An influential definition of religion. It is neither thinking nor acting, but intuition and feeling, he says. It longs to be grasped and filled by the universe's immediate influences in childlike passivity, he writes. Religion is the sensibility and taste for the infinite. The focus in this definition of religion is no longer on what is traditionally called the fides quae creditur, the dogmas and creeds that people were supposed to believe and commit to. The center of attention is now the fides qua creditur, the very mental act of believing itself, the inner motives and intuitions that influence both psychic functioning and out, and then also secondary outward behavior. That could now become the subject of psychology of religion, and we should therefore not be surprised to hear Schleiermacher's echo in William James' definition of religion, the feelings and acts and experiences of individual men in their solitude, so far as they apprehend themselves to stand in relation to whatever they may consider the divine. The psychology of religion emerges at least partly from theology, identifying its subject in congruence with a modern apologetics of religion, Schleiermacher's strategy of defining individually experienced religiosity as the core of religion. This strategy proved successful, I think, and could also be applied against the religion critique of psychologists or psychoanalysts, the modern despisers of religion. Paul Tillich, for example, in the 50s, sees psychoanalysis as an auxiliary science that contributes to the description of human nature, guilt structures and sin, and to the deconstruction of certain dogmas as illusion. Yet psychoanalysis is incapable of destruction or even the articulation of the core of religion, and that is that what ultimately concerns man, the search and longing for participation in the divine and meaningful ground of existence, the immediate awareness of something unconditional, as Tillich says. For Tillich, every individual was thus religious, or at least quasi-religious, in search of the answers of existential questions that underlie every form of religion. We can find a similar train of thought in the work of Paul Ricoeur. For Ricoeur, psychoanalysis and its archaeological hermeneutics may deconstruct religion, but it cannot deconstruct faith. In fact, psychoanalysis only disenchants the outer crusts of religion, but not its innermost and vital core, faith. The post-critical faith actually only comes to its full glory after the deconstruction of religion. Schleiermacher, Tillich, and Ricoeur, it is no coincidence that the names of these great theologians and philosophers of religion regularly pop up in psychological research and literature on religion and spirituality in our time. These thinkers have given important impulses to the dialogue between theology and psychology, and their ideas have been and still are an important inspiration, as it seems, in the psychology of religion. In the discussions of the concepts of spirituality and religion, this becomes visible in the fact that Schleiermacher's characterization of religion, or Tillich's definition of faith, are sometimes being classified as a definition of spirituality. Moreover, religion and religiousness are then associated with the outdated commitments to beliefs and practices characteristic of particular traditions. Spirituality describes the post-religious religiousness that was in fact first articulated by Schleiermacher and after him in many variants, intuitions and feelings of the divine, search of ultimate ground and meaning, immediate awareness of something divine or sacred, participation in a meaningful ground of existence, in short, the extraordinary experiences, senses, strivings, and intuitions at the horizon of everyday life, and yet also at the very heart of religion itself. The psychology of religion is still, as it has always been, entangled, it seems, with this modernist theology, despite emancipation and religion critique. That is my claim here. Should I get nervous? No, I don't. From the days of William James and his plea for natural religiousness of man, Starbuck's attempts to reconcile science and religion in the psychology of religion, or Gordon Allport's defense of intrinsic religion against correlations with prejudice and intolerance, via important protagonists of the psychology of religion, such as Antoine Vergote, who combines psychological research with theological interests and aims, unto those present scholars who have maybe hidden religious agendas behind scientific research programs, or who in some form aim at a rehabilitation of the sacred heart and nature of religion. There is a long apologetic tradition in the psychology of religion. Or in other words, the emergence of the psychology of religion is entangled with a modern theological project that regards individual and subjective religious experiences and lived religiosity as the inner core of religion, a core that might prove to be resistance to a secular critique of religion. When religion is deconstructed, this core would or should prevail. It is in the discourse on spirituality that this very inner core of religion is again articulated and revived, but always in this complex with other perspectives on spirituality, including the religion critique, the critical ones. Scholars in the psychology of religion have rightfully argued that the concept of spirituality is a vague and diffuse concept, since the concept is rooted in various religious and intellectual traditions. And since it is the subject in a heterogeneous discipline such as the psychology of religion, we should not be surprised about this vagueness. Spirituality is clearly a polyvalent and multidimensional concept. I've argued that spirituality is not simply the new alternative or fashionable subject of the psychology of religion after religion. Spirituality has also become a last resort of fides qua creditur, of all forms of practical piety and frömmigkeit that used to be embedded in religious traditions, doctrines, creeds, and practices, and that have become individualized and part of the religious supermarket. Since spirituality is a multidimensional concept, an all-inclusive definition of the concept is difficult and, I think, probably impossible. Also, the relation between spirituality and religion cannot easily be delineated in terms of a personal spiritual search for the sacred, is either within or partly outside of religion. In view of this, I would propose to make the following rudimentary distinction between various dimensions of spirituality. As basic types of spirituality, we can distinguish theistic from non-theistic spirituality. Theistic spirituality can be defined by the faith in experiences of and or search for a divine reality attributed with divine qualities. This divine reality can either be described in transcendent, God, or immanent terms. For example, ultimate ground, which would be kind of a Tillichian way to define this divine reality. Non-theistic spirituality is composed, I think, of at least existential orientations that first center around holistic worldviews marked by connectedness with the cosmos or nature, that would be kind of an immanent non-theistic spirituality. Or, second, center around the sacralization or transcendence of the self, that would be a transcendent non-theistic spirituality. Such basic distinctions are not absolute. There are certainly overlaps and patchwork combinations. But I think the advantage of such distinction is, first, that we can use the concept of spirituality without solely trying to identify it in relation to religion, which is also difficult to define. And B, that we avoid reducing the various dimensions of spirituality to a single process or to single objectives, such as, for example, self-transcendence or meaning-making. There's a tendency in literature to take meaning-making as the overarching concept and then say there is religious meaning-making, spiritual meaning-making, existential meaning-making, etc. Such basic typology of spirituality, the factors transcendent, immanent, and theistic, non-theistic. Such a basic typology of spirituality contributes to more insight in which elements of conventional religion and religiousness resist secularization and merge into secular and post-secular spiritualities and existential worldviews. And of course, this typology needs a little bit more further elaboration, but that is where I stop for today. Thank you.